I let you just drop them pants.
Drop?
Just take them right off. Come on, squeal! Squeal!
Once in the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Alright, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 79. This is like take 4. I'm C4.
I'm Kobar. I'm Drew.
And let's see here, this is the weekly show about video games and other entertainment things, usually movies. Handhelds this week. This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about handheld games, apparently just mainly Nintendo DS games, because there was a lot of information out there on those that we thought was worthy to cover. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this thing's getting to be pretty popular, actually. So you can catch the show at our website at hwhq.com. You can listen to the streams at 3:30 p.m. on Binary Revolution, DDP Hack Radio, it's benrev.com, and Rant Radio on their stream there. They have actually two different quality streams, so if you're on dial-up, it doesn't hurt so bad. That's rantradio.com, and we're actually going to have a third one here, hopefully by next week. So that'll be good news, because hopefully it'll take a little bit of load off the site. I think since we upped the quality of the files, it's put the hurt on the site a little bit. Like, I don't see how it could have done this bad of a job, though, because the files have at most doubled in size. The bandwidth, though, has tripled in use. So I don't know what the hell is happening, but we sure don't have three times as many listeners. I know that.
Well, it could be a combination of the two.
It's got to be a few more people listening or something. I don't know what it is. And I think, like, iPod streams... People downloading with that whatever it's called, the iPodder service where it like downloads it onto your iPod when you're not there and everything, and so, but we lost all the iPod listeners anyway the other week, talking shit about the iPod, and it only has to do, the thing is a great little idea, you know, that I think the thing is really cool, and if it functions correctly, more power to you, that's awesome. But honestly, the amount of hardware troubles that thing has, and software troubles, I've seen issues with that thing. I can't stand them because of that. All right, this is a personal issue I have with the iPod's hardware.
It's a big aspect of it.
You know, it is. It is
Apple.
It is. So they do make. Yeah, I know. They. I don't know. It seems like it's such a cool thing, and I would. I mean, if I had one, it'd be like the coolest thing ever. If I ever left the house, you know, and didn't have my computer here to play all that crap for me already. But I don't know. With as many troubles as I see with that damn thing, I cannot stand behind it. It's just the hardware problems. If they would pull it together, that. I better just stop now before I turn off the rest of the iPod, guys. So they're going to say, you know what? Fuck you. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Now, because I don't know what I'm talking about, we turn to email. Somebody who does know what they're talking about. And you too can write us, okay? Use the Gmail because currently the site's email is all screwed up. I don't know what happened. It is just foobard. I get half of my email, it seems like. And all the spam, and no real email comes in from actual people for some reason. But Spetsnaz X sent us a email here, and he's got a nice email for us here on Prince of Persia: Warrior Within. An interesting little glitch in it happens too. Let me go ahead and start with the email here. It says, "Howdy C4. I figured I'd email this to you instead of posting it on the forum, so it would get on the show and more people could learn about it. Two things have made Prince of Persia: Warrior Within a complete chore. Number one." The camera sucks donkey balls. Number two, the prince has too many moves. The problem with that is when you're fighting four baddies, the prince can easily go into a breakdancing routine, which will get you killed. But when the camera plays nice and the prince does what you want, it's gold, Jerry, gold! We're big Seinfeld fans here, so we appreciate it. I just love after I have cleared a room of pirates, yeah, pirates, spending a good 10 minutes figuring out how to get up that little ledge all the way at the top of the room. So at about 40% through the game, I learned there was a fatal glitch in the game. A Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer newsreel, the Sandwraith Glitch, and you, drink Moxie. I'll start by telling you what the Sandwraith is. At various points in the game, the prince spots, via cutscenes, this demon-looking Sandwraith character running down corridors or taking out guards in the distance. It's your typical Who's That game character you know will inevitably be either fighting or teaming up with. Or you will be. At a point in the later half of the game, you will be playing as the Sandwraith. Let's see. I won't get into that circumstances as to not give anything important away. With that said, I will go into my experience. I needed to activate two clock towers at separate ends of the fortress so that I may enter the palace. Tower 1 went smoothly, and I was clumsily trying to figure out how to get into number 2. I wound up in a time portal room I had used previously. The time portals allow the prince to travel between when the fortress was in pristine condition and when it had fallen into disuse, each allowing the prince to gain access to places that are not accessible in the other. I think that made sense. I don't know, I was having a hard time following it and I was reading it. Let's see. So outside of this portal room is a fountain, so I used it to create a save. Then I go through the portal and play for a little more. Feeling emasculated and completely frustrated, I threw a tantrum and turned off my Xbox. Some while later, my passion to save the prince from the sands of fate was restored. Ubisoft logo, loading screen, pop WW title in the screen, select screen, profile screen, load save game, loading screen. Sandwraith, standing next to the fountain. Sandwraith? Had I forgotten about switching to the Sandwraith? No, I think I would have remembered becoming a completely different character. That's kind of strange.
Yeah.
I decided to just go with it. I continued my attempt to find tower number 2. Hours of wandering and backtracking were fruitless. I decided to stop for the day and see if anyone else had a similar experience becoming the Sandwraith. Guess what? Other people had, and it's a game-ending occurrence.
Oh, no.
That's bad. From what I have read, this is what triggered it. Something happens to the save when you save outside of a portal room, then go through the portal, quit, and then try to load the save. I'm guessing the problem is between the user-initiated save and the autosave triggered by going through the portal. It does sound like it's specific to saves outside of the portal before you go forward or back in time. Saving after you have time travel does not seem to cause the glitch. Being the Sandwraith before you're supposed to be him is a huge problem to the game. The game no longer triggers cinemas or events that should take place, so the story does not advance. I am left with a completely unusable game save. Once the parameters for the glitch are met, it's going to happen on that save every time. So the lesson is, keep multiple saves. Luckily, I do that anyway because I'm a paranoid son of a bitch. I have had save games become corrupted before. I'm a mere 30 minutes behind my corrupted save, and somehow I'm having trouble finding my way back there. Eternally yours, Spetsnaz El Guapo X. That sucks ass.
They also mentioned that it's only for the Xbox, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Good, thank God you said something. Yeah, he said he's not so sure if that only happens on the Xbox version or not.
Oh.
That's right, because he's playing the Xbox version.
How many times have you played a game and had it end like that? I mean, I've done that myself, you know. Save one time, then you get this glitch and you can't play no more. So
yeah.
it just blows. That's
exactly why I make so many save games.
Yeah, me too. I do the exact same thing. I usually have, like, you know, quite a few saves, and usually there's one which is like my beta save, you know, where it's like I go advance, and if I did okay, you know, and like nothing catastrophic happened, you know, and if I can save it and then load it and it's good, then I'll make like a copy of that save and I'll save it somewhere else, and that's my, like, I know that I'm good up till that point. But it sucks when you're playing some kind of like a role-playing game where you sit down and hours can go by. You know, well, hell, that can happen in any kind of game, but I noticed particularly in RPGs, hours can go by. And then you lose your game, something happens, it gets corrupted, you use the holiday demo disc from Sony and they wipe your memory card. You know, shit can happen. You know, and it sucks. It sucks. You know, kids can delete it. You know, this is why having two memory cards is not a bad idea also. You know, save on one and then make like a backup save. And I know it sounds like really paranoid, but I like to have control over the technical end as much as possible. You know, like on a computer game, almost every game I play, I'll save it and I'll keep my multiple saves, and then I will find the save file, and I will make a copy of the save files themselves, so that I know if, you know, my hard drive explodes, you know, I pour some thermite on the hard drive, you know, whatever, I have a copy somewhere else. it's just kind of like a little emergency feature, you know, because God knows I would not want to repeat some of the stuff that you've done, you know. And if you're playing an RPG...
One that's like 80 hours long.
That
makes you want to quit.
You know, exactly. Like, remember before, I'm sure we've talked about this multiple times, but when I played Morrowind, I got to a point where I got totally screwed and basically jacked my character up, but I wasn't keeping multiple... I had two different saves, but I didn't realize the problem until I'd already overwrote my, like, perfect save. And it basically killed the game for me. You know, that kind of stuff really sucks. So, I think it's a good idea to keep, you know, multiple copies, you know, on a PlayStation or an Xbox or whatever. Hell, on my Xbox, it's got a hard drive in it. Right? You're supposed to use that for your save games. How many people bought an Xbox with a memory card? You think it's as many as that didn't buy a memory card? Probably not. You don't need one. No, I can save it to the hard drive. I have a memory card. You know why? Because I save my games to the Xbox hard drive, and then the next, you know, when I'm done, I will go, you know, into the little screen, and I will copy all that crap over to the memory card, you know, just to make sure that I have it backed up, just in case something happens. I know it sounds a real paranoid, but it sucks.
Well, when you're putting a lot of hours into it, you don't want to have to go all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, thank God Spetz had this 30 minutes, you know, a save that was only 30 minutes behind him, because that would really, really blow. You know, action games even, you know, just as much. Maybe you passed a part that was really, really hard. You know, I mean, I've been stuck on some of these, you know, some levels. You get to a level where it's just like, it goes beyond skill and falls into the realm of luck. Where you're like, if I just do this enough, eventually I'm going to get through it. And you do, and you save your game, and then it explodes, you know. Does anybody have any other good horror stories about that kind of shit happening to them?
Well, I had one time I was playing a... Final Fantasy IX, I think it was. And I don't know what happened, what I did special, but all of a sudden I got in this room where I have to touch all these chandeliers, and the door wouldn't open. And I went back to another save, got all that way, tried again, and the chandeliers wouldn't work.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I was screwed. I don't know what I did strange.
Yeah, went, that's weird. This is...
Went looking online, though I didn't see anybody that had the same problem.
Huh. Are you sure it wasn't just something you weren't pressing?
No, I spent hours
in a
room touching chandeliers.
That sucks. There was this game for the Sega CD called Vay. Maybe it's Vi. It's V-A-Y. Vay. The game was so fun. It was like, it was a role-playing game, you know. And I remember, I probably told this story too, but I it sticks in my memory because it pissed me off so bad. I got into this fight. I had to cross through. I had to go through a cave in a mountain range, right? And at the end of the cave, you had to fight like the boss creature, right? And he whooped my ass. And so I thought, okay, well I'll try this again, you know, because I figured I was exploring too far. I need to go get some levels, but I wanted to see at least what was beyond there. Since I've already come this far, I may as well fight him. And I had a save like right there. So you know, I fight the guy. I must have fought that guy like 900 times until one time I got lucky enough to defeat him, right? I kill the guy, I walk out, you know, and it pops me back to like the regular world map, you know, where I'm walking around, and I'm in a field, and I walk across something, and like the screen was all messed up, and I heard the game click on the, like the CD spin on the inside of it, click, right? It was something happened, and the CD was hella scratched is what happened, right? And this was like the last used game I've ever bought, ever. Like I bought Nintendo games used, like Nintendo Entertainment System games used, and then I think I bought like, 4 Sega CD used games and like maybe 2 used Sega Genesis. No, maybe 4 used Sega Genesis games. Since then, never. Never will I buy used games. And it's because of shit like this. So the CD's scratched. I get out past, you know, where I was having difficulty. I mean, it took me hours to win this fight. And it was fell in the realm of luck. You know, it was not my character was good enough. I just could, you know, if I just played my cards right, might get lucky one time. Finally get through it. And then, like, the first combat, you hear the CD go click. And it throws me in the dungeon again, fighting the guy.
Oh, no.
And the only thing I can figure is because I did the fight so many times, it screwed with the memory. You know, like it just did not remove where I was or something out of the memory of the Sega CD. Uh-huh. Because it was... The funny part was it didn't occur to me what happened. I was just playing and thought I was in combat again. Because I'd sat there for so long, right? And just was used to fighting the guy over and over and over. But when I finally beat him, I... Basically,
same thing happened to you that happened to the Sega CD.
You know, yeah, just all of a sudden, poof, brain freeze, and I'm back in the combat, and it didn't even occur to me. And then until like my third fight with the guy, and then I was like, didn't I just beat this guy? Wait a minute, how come I know what it looks like on the other side? And I couldn't get through. It sucked. I think that's as far as I got in that game. It was terrible. But I thank you for the public service notice, though.
Yeah.
Very much, Spence, because people need to know about this kind of crap.
So either make
sure
you only save when you go through the portal, or
before you go through, or yeah, like outside after. Of it, before you go, after you go through it.
If you do it before, that's when it happens.
Was it before? No, it's if you save, and then go through, and then reload. But if you save before you go in, you're all good, too, outside the thing, right?
Has anyone played Final Fantasy VII?
I played a little bit of it. Yeah. Not as much as I should have, but it wasn't that great.
I think I barely made it to the second disc or something.
I think, wasn't it in that game you fought a boss right off the get?
Yeah, that burly guy.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I remember fighting him over and over, and I beat him. I was like, yes, I'm out of here. And my save was corrupt.
Yeah. So. Were you playing on the computer or the PlayStation?
Computer.
Really? Oh, man. I remember that fight, too. I remember that. Because whoever was watching me play was like, man, you're so lucky. I can't believe you won that fight. That took me forever to win. That was a tough fight. I remember that. Now, I need help, is what I need. Okay? I've got, as everybody knows, if they listened to the show before, I chipped my Xbox. Because, I mean, the thing just, I mean, it basically does not read discs anymore at all. And it was like, well, I could throw it out or have a fun little experiment, you know, a nice little learning experiment here. You know, never soldered anything in my life and went ahead and got mod shit. Put it in, nope, it's no problems, it works just fine. Except for one little issue I'm having. And I want to know, because I've looked for an answer and I can't find it. So I'm turning to the listeners that maybe somebody has run across this before and just the hopes that somebody saw this problem and they remember reading a solution somewhere because I cannot figure it out. What?
I said boil it.
Boil it. that very well may fix the problem I'm having. It's too weird of a problem, though. Now, I have an FTP connection to the Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can copy, a movie, right? Like, I have a movie, you know, I have all these DVDs, and I like making copies of them because I don't want to wreck my original discs. So I'll make them into DivX, or I'll make, you know, copies of them so I can toss those around the house without risk losing my original. I have them stored on my computer, a lot of them. And the Xbox, with, what is it, Xbox Media Center or something like that, will connect to my computer and it will play the video and everything. So I know the FTP connection works fine and it's fast enough that the movie doesn't skip or anything, right?
Mm.
I can also, using the FTP access to it, copy the whole movie to the Xbox hard drive and play it directly from there. Yet, if I try to copy Xbox Media Center itself from my computer over the FTP connection to the Xbox, it bails. It will not make it will not transfer the files. It'll transfer like 10 of them, and then it will like stop transferring.
So you can't update the software?
I could barely get it on. Now what I've discovered so far is that the mod chip itself gives you FTP access to the box. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that works perfectly fine, right? So using that. Not a dashboard FTP, right? If I use, like, Evolution X, it seems like it goes really slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it still has the same problem, which makes me think that it's, like, a network setting that I screwed up, or maybe some kind of a hardware problem, but then it works fine if I transfer a large file. But when I'm trying to copy Xbox Media Center over to the Xbox, it'll start flying through the files. It'll copy maybe 20 files or so, and then and it just stops transferring. And it doesn't resume transferring. It just stops transferring, just flat out dead, all of a sudden will not transfer anymore.
Does it change where in the transfer it stops, or is it always the same place?
It's just random. Completely random. It's just completely random. Just will stop transferring files all of a sudden. And I can disconnect, I can click disconnect, reconnect, like as fast as I want, and it'll just pick up the transfer and just shoot stuff right over there. The only thing is, I'm not so sure about the integrity of the files that are getting there now. You know, those files that are making it over there, I don't know if it's resending the ones that didn't make it, you know, and it's not making the directories correctly. Now, I suspect that it is a problem with the FTP software. So I tried different FTP software, right? Thinking that, okay, one of them's got to have it set up right. I like something called, it's called Bulletproof FTP.
Mm.
I've used it for years. I love it. So I use it. And then I've noticed that it seems like nobody else in the world uses it, it seems like. Because everywhere I read, it says use Qt FTP or this one or that one. The whole range of things, nobody ever says use Bulletproof FTP. And I like it. So I tried some of the ones that, you know, I always see mentioned. They didn't work either. The same thing happens. So I'm thinking maybe it's when it switches from binary to ASCII transfer modes, right? There's different files in XBMC that need to be transferred that it might be sending incorrectly because it doesn't know which way to send them. And if so, which ones do I need to change? Because I can set it up to switch transfer modes, whatever. But it seems like it sends fine if I try it again. Like, I can hit stop and then transfer again. But either XBMC is very buggy, because, like, it crashes when I stop playing, and, like, at the end of a movie, it'll just crash. Right. Bam! I have to reboot my Xbox. Or if I try to, like, fast-forward it, or whatever the hell the B button does. I thought it was fast-forward, whatever. I didn't actually read the thing. It looked like it was fast-forward, though. It will crash XBMC also. And I'm not so sure now if that's, you know, XBMC being buggy, or if it's the files I transferred over there are corrupted in some sort of way to screw up, you know.
Could be.
The program, yeah.
That's interesting.
It's really weird. I spent hours last night messing with it. Updated the BIOS on the chip, and it was odd, too, because I haven't updated it since I got it, you know. I really haven't. I haven't even really turned the thing on. And there was a new BIOS release yesterday. That day. So I was like, wow, okay, this has got to work. And there was FTP fixes on there. And I was like, oh, thank God, I bet this fixes my problem. And that didn't fix the problem either. So if anybody knows, I would really, really appreciate an answer, because it's hard to explain on a forum. And it's even harder to search for an answer, you know, using keywords to search for weird FTP modded Xbox. I mean, you wind up with too many useless results. It's a very, very strange thing. I don't know what the hell the problem is.
That is on.
I know, it really, really pisses me off, though. I'm not a happy camper. Now, we're here today to join these two. No, wait. We're here today to talk about the Nintendo DS. We want to talk about some handheld stuff. It's been a long time since we've, I think, even breathed the word handheld around here, like in any kind of detail. Mm. And Hunter went ahead and got himself a Nintendo DS.
Oh, when I saw this thing, I got really excited. You know, I just bought a Game Boy Advance.
Like the day before.
Yeah, the day before. And I was in Walmart, you know, and I'm just, you know, putting along, and I see this shiny thing out of the corner of my eye. And I'm like, wow.
Ooh, shiny.
I go over there, I look at it, and I'm like, I gotta have it.
Now, why didn't you buy it first, though?
Because I didn't see it. I didn't know it was out yet. I'd heard about it, but I never saw it.
You know what you might want to check out? There's this little radio show these two dudes do every week that kind of keeps you informed on games and stuff like that.
Where is that?
Anyway, I saw it, and I was like, you know, I gotta have it, you know? So I bought this, I bought the DS, and I bought one of the games, Spider-Man 2. And I already had some Game Boy Advance games, so, you know, I wasn't hurting for games. But then I saw Mario.
Mario.
And I got Mario, and I've been playing it ever since. I mean, the game is fast.
I know, didn't you have Spider-Man 2 right off the bat?
Yes.
But, yeah, because that's what we saw last week. We actually mentioned that you picked it up last week, and that you'd bought Spider-Man 2 and that you shouldn't have.
It's not that bad of a game. I mean, I have fun with it. I mean, I don't have any crazy issues with it sticking on the walls or it can't move. I mean, it controls nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fighting's gets a little repetitive when you're fighting all the time, but
is the whole thing like 2D side scroll type?
2D, 3D. Is it?
Yeah, because it's all rendered in 3D, yet you play it 2D, which is cool. I'm cool with that. I'm down for that. We need more of that. I want to see a nice Mario game like that. I want to, or at least a mini game in a 3D Mario for that.
Like
I want
Paper Mario,
you know,
for this.
Yeah, I want to see cool. How cool was it when they remade Bonk's Adventure? You know, that's like with that. You know, something like that, where it's like, you know, and Contra, Shattered Soldier.
I still remember when I saw Bonks for the first time. It was on an Atari, what was it?
That
Atari
old?
800, yeah.
Jesus.
It was on an Atari.
2600 probably.
Yeah, and I saw it and I was like, wow, you know, that
was
cool.
That's cool.
You know, that's much better than my Pong, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like they really did a good job with, like they, or at least intended to do a really good job with Spider-Man 2, because what I saw was, it was like all 3D, the, Spider-Man alone has 4,000 frames of animation.
Wow.
You know, that's pretty nice. I mean, he must move really nice and smooth, you know? And do they have bullet time in it?
No.
Are you sure? There's some, Spidey sense. What does the L button do? The trigger. Isn't it like slows down time or makes your...
Maybe it does. I haven't played around with all the features of it yet, but...
I don't know if that might be one of the unlockable skills though, because he has a bunch of unlockable skills, like 8 or something like that. And you can set them to one button, and it's the way they set it up, because I like these games where they have it set up so like you use one button for your special move a lot. I kind of like it. I like it when you have like 3. So yeah. You would use the 3 most used special skills without having to change them. You know, like Sly Cooper, you gotta change them to the one button, it gets to be kind of a hassle if you want to do a bunch of different stuff. So in this, I imagine, it's kind of the same crap. I need to use this different thing real quick. But anyway, the bottom screen here, you can set your special abilities to the R button on the bottom screen. You click the screen and he switches into whatever, you know, whatever special move that you picked.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Is it quick to do?
Yeah, it's fast.
I mean, when you're switching, though, and you're using the buttons to punch and all this crap, and then you hit the bottom thing to switch it, you know, I mean, like, does it feel like...
It's fast, yes.
Yeah, it switches quick, and it doesn't feel like, shit, I needed my thumb on the button, but I had to take my thumb off to switch the thing?
No, it don't give you that feel at all. I mean, what impresses me about this the most is the loading time. It's amazing. You know?
That's going to be interesting to see how well Sony copes with the load times on those little UMDs, those little discs they've got on their PSP.
That's going to be interesting. Yeah, I want to see the head-to-head. You know, that's what I'm waiting for, the head-to-head action.
Right now, it's kind of weird because it's like head to vaporware. You know, it's like it's head versus PR spin.
I mean,
right now,
just looking at it, doesn't that make you want to go buy one?
At first, I didn't. At first, when I saw the DS. It was sitting, like, at my store. Remember, in fact, when you saw where I work, we saw it, and it's mounted on that thing. You can't get a good grip on it because it's mounted strange. You know what I mean? It's not like...
Yeah,
it's not
can't
like
pick it up
exactly.
And
you
feel
it. Yeah, get a good grip on it. You don't know exactly what it would feel like if you were actually playing it because it's mounted, like, either a little too high or a little too low. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not angled right if you would actually be playing with it. And it's killing me not to buy one of these things, especially now that you have one. I see how cool it really is. You know, the screen's all screwed up on the one at work because the kids have been mashing it with their keys.
And it's shiny.
You know, shiny, yeah. It's all nice and silver. It's got a little Nintendo logo. I dig the silver look of the thing, and it's pretty small. It's like, did you remember the Game Boy Advance, the original Game Boy Advance? Not the SP.
Yeah,
it's about that size, it looks like.
Yeah, it's about that size.
It's a little bigger. Not a whole lot, but it is a little bigger.
It's like a little bit more rectangular.
Just kind of reminds me of a hand, like,
it's just
tiny laptop.
Yeah, totally. The thing is actually really slick, though. I dig it. The buttons are a little small. Have you had any issues with like hitting the wrong buttons yet or anything?
Yeah, sometimes because I have big thumbs. So.
Yeah, you're just gonna have to leave that here for a week.
For me
to experiment. It's research, man. Come on. it's killing me not to
for
pick
the
one.
Good
up.
Of the community.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. But it's only $150. And I say only, whereas that's actually pretty expensive.
Well, the PSP is like 287 or something like that.
What?
It's going to be a lot.
It was over 200. It was But it comes with the PSP, a case, the adapter, a wipe-off cloth, and headphones and all
50
that.
$50 for a cloth, you know?
Yeah.
Did this thing come with anything other than that?
Oh, you got
and the charger, of
you
course.
You got the stylus, the charger. You got a demo version of Metroid.
Metroid Prime Hunters?
Yes. And that right there is cool in itself.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it is fun.
What is on the top and the bottom screen?
On the bottom screen, you can control him. You know, by moving it around, he'll move whichever way you put your finger or
the
stylus.
Wait, you control it with that?
I don't think you can. You don't have to. You can set it up any way you want.
That's cool.
But, like, if you want to go into rollerball, you just, bam, he's in the rollerball.
You just tap the screen on the skill button.
Yeah, and it's fun, you know, and it looks good.
But up top is the map, right? And inventory screen and whatnot?
Well, you have your inventory map and all that on the bottom screen. The top map is the interface. Yeah, the way you're looking. You know, it's first person.
Oh, okay.
That's crazy.
It's pretty fat. You know, I was just impressed by it. I was like, oh, it's just a ramped up, you know, Game Boy Advance. You know, that's what I was thinking. Then when I looked at it and I played Mario, I was like, holy shit. You know? Now it's reading it and they're saying it's somewhere between a GameCube and a Nintendo 64. Ain't too shabby.
Yeah, for $150. And the thing is pretty damn small and it's really cool. It's got some, like, flash, some pizzazz to it or something. Like, it looks sharp, you know? It looks like a PDA or something. You know, it looks like a nice, serious piece of equipment.
And it'll play your Game Boy Advance games, which is nice.
Yeah,
thank God. It won't play Game Boy Color games or Game Boy games, but who cares? You know, it's going
to
play.
You have to draw the line somewhere, though.
You do.
You have two slots already in this thing. You don't need a third.
It wouldn't use a third.
That's true. They're just they're the same slot, just taller, huh?
The cards.
They don't fit.
Are a little bit taller.
Try.
I know, and you still try. See, that's now I'm to the point where I don't have any Game Boy Color games anymore, but I used to have the Zelda games.
Wow.
And it was awesome. Those games are incredibly fun.
Yeah, they did do a good job on that.
You know, the Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons, but you can't play them on the DS, and that kind of blows because I don't want to have a PSP, or SP and a DS. You know, I'd rather just have one of the two. But I'm to the point now where I don't have any more color games and I won't be buying any, but I would like to have Black Commando, Crystalis, and those Zelda games again.
Yeah, but what they could do is they could do a classic series and put them all on one of these.
Oh, they will.
You know,
it's gonna be a matter of time. Yeah,
they'll put one on one.
Yeah. It's not
kid yourself.
You could get all those games.
Oh, no. Definitely you could.
We know you could, but they won't. It's gonna be $30 for...
That's like you got Excitebike.
You know?
You know how many copies of Excitebike you can put on one of those advanced cartridges?
And they put one on there. You know?
It's not about a question of space.
Yeah, it's how can Nintendo market that? But the thing is really slick, and it's very bright, too. Can you turn off the lights in any way? Like the screens, is there a way to turn them off? Or
no.
They're
that's kind of a shame, because that's a great power drain.
It is, but...
That thing lasts for hours. I had it on for hours.
You know what? It's heavier than I originally thought, too. It's not heavy in a holy crap, this thing is heavy, I'm not going to be able to handle it kind of way, but it's heavier than I thought it would.
There's an awful lot of hardware in that.
There is.
Yeah, two processors. And
yeah. Two nice sized... Whoa, shit, I forgot I could touch the screen. Whoops.
You have to in the beginning.
Yeah.
I wonder what's with that. It's like a disclaimer.
You don't have to touch it.
I'm sure you can tap it. Yeah, it does say some disclaimer. Read it. Warning, health and safety. Before playing, read the health and safety precautions booklet for important information about your health and safety. To get an extra copy for your region, go online at www.nintendo.com/health-safety. Touch the touch screen to continue. You can also press a button. It takes you right to it. At the top screen, you've got, you can even put your handle in there. You've got some weird little logos on the top. It's got the date, the time. It's got an analog clock. It's got a calendar even. Can you set like appointments and shit in there? Can you say that, you know, can you mark a date on the calendar and say on the 21st I need to do this and it will remind you?
If not right away, I'm pretty sure there's at least a
separate
cartridge.
They'll probably come out with something like that. Right now you can't. It has a thing in there called Pico Chat or whatever.
It's Picto because you're using pictures.
Or Pico, whatever.
Yeah, it's Picto Chat. I kept saying Pico Chat also, and then when I finally looked at the word, it's Picto Chat. And I actually had a little warning for the listeners about the Picto Chat. PictoChat basically allows you to it's like multiplayer notepad, right? You get another DS in the area, and you and your buddy can draw pictures back and forth to each other and write on it, you know, like, you know, I'm gonna, you know, cut your head off while you're asleep and, you know, shove it up your ass, you know, and you can draw a little picture even for your friend and he will be able to pick up that picture, right? Now the thing of it is up to 15 15 other Nintendo DSs can pick that up if they're anywhere nearby. And there's no kind of, like, authentication needed. You know, exactly.
I wonder what the range is, though, on it.
Isn't it, like, 30 feet or something? It's pretty good.
I mean,
so anybody with a DS that walks in there, you can't have more than one channel. You're stuck in the same
channel. No, there's more than one channel.
There is?
Yeah, like, if you go...
But, okay, if you're still on that same channel, anybody can pick that up.
You can't password or anything.
Yeah,
at least from what I was reading.
You got room A, B, C, and D.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least you can pick.
That's a hell of a lot of people in a nearby area. Okay, that's cool then. That's better. But still, that's not going to stop one guy. You know, like, let's say you're on a field trip at school, and every kid on there has got a DS like Nintendo would like, and I would really enjoy to see myself. You know, and you guys are all talking, and, you know, you got the geeks in channel, you know, C, and you got the jocks in channel A, and you got the cheerleaders in channel B, and you got the real losers in channel D, you know, or whatever. And then you got the jocks talking shit about the cheerleaders, and you know, they're listening in. You know, they got one friend, you know. there's no kind of security there. It's not going to ask you for a password. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to be a little careful.
Generally speaking, I don't think that's going to be a big deal, though.
I hope not, but...
I don't see too many DSs falling into a 30-feet range, unless they're supposed to be.
That's true. But, I mean, who knows? If all goes right with the world, everybody will have a DS, you know? So I'm like, everybody will have, you know, games. More people will play games, and they're going to carry around stuff like this. Yeah. It's pretty cool, though.
As far as the planner thing and whatnot, I'm pretty sure I read that if there's not already, there will be a cartridge.
That's what that I turns thought it I saw, too. PDA. Exactly. I thought I saw something just like that, too. But I couldn't remember.
You know, what also would be cool is if they come out with some way for this to hook to your computer, and you could download ROM files onto it.
Well, <that'll>...
how fat would that be? But, you know, Nintendo would never...
Okay, Nintendo would never let it happen. Nintendo would never let that happen, but... You know, give it some time, and there might be a modded chip that comes out. You know, there's going to be like a flash cart,
like there is for the
for every other one, right? That maybe is like a software mod for it, where you just plug it in, and then bam, you know, it hooks up to your Bluetooth wireless or something on your computer. Now, I cannot tell you; I have no idea how the wireless works in this. I was under the impression that it had two different kinds of wireless connections. Like Bluetooth and then some kind of proprietary Nintendo wireless. Or 802.11 and some kind of Nintendo proprietary wireless. I really can't remember to save my life.
I thought one was more like Bluetooth or the wireless, like 802.11b or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other was like infrared.
One of them's... It can't be infrared. There'd be no way. Because that would have to be line of sight.
Right.
And there'd be no way you'd have two dudes... You know,
Hold still.
Yeah, you're cheating. You disconnected me. You know, you tilted your shit back. Yeah.
Well, they have one for the GBA and, or something, and you can.
Probably got a pretty wide range.
Wide range of movement.
Huh.
You just have to be facing each other.
I don't think. Oh, well, that's not so bad. Yeah. Well, there's no little. Yeah. There's no infrared thing on here.
It's like a remote control for a TV. You don't have to sit there and press it directly.
Yeah, that's true.
A laser. You can. Bounce it off the walls and crap.
Okay, now a little bit more on the features of this thing. First of all, the Game Boy DS carts go in the top of it, right? Like, remember, like we're kind of used to on your Game Boy Advance, the original one.
Yeah.
And then the Game Boy Advance, regular Game Boy Advance games, not the DS games, the Advance games go on the bottom, kind of like you're used to with your SP now.
No,
right?
Does it come with a plug? Or if you don't have an Advance game, are you stuck with a big fatty hole in the front of your...
Oh, is there like a piece of plastic that goes in
there?
No. Okay, so you might get some gook in there. So you might just want to leave something in there anyway, then. And I really like the idea of having two things in there. Plus, I noticed there's a screw on the back. You can get to the battery, too, pretty easy. I wonder if it's user-replaceable instead of having to, like, ship it out to Nintendo. You know, I wonder if it just pops out. We might have to look at that.
Yeah, it pops out.
The battery comes out?
Yes.
Really? Yep. That's good. Oh, wow, the shoulder buttons are nice on this.
Yeah.
I didn't check those out
last time. Nice and long.
Nice and clicky. Okay, also, there is... What the hell is this little thing? Oh, that's the stylus where it goes in the back. Okay, it's awfully small. But it needs to be because the DS is small. It's got that plug that the SP had, that square plug that you plugged your power into. That's what it looks like it uses for that. The volume is a slider like it is on the Game Boy Advance SP. The slider feels nicer and more accurate. Like I like that slider for volume a lot. Now, the headphones. This is a big issue. Because remember on the original Game Boy Advance, the GBA had a standard headphone connector.
Right.
On the SP, they changed it to that funky connector. Right?
I don't know. I haven't tried.
Yeah. This one has both.
Oh.
That is really cool. Yeah, because there's no, like, standard headphone jack on an SP. There used to be on the regular Game Boy Advance, which was nice.
You have to have a Nintendo headphone?
Yes. or, you know, a licensed third-party... What?
I just have to say something funny. When you went, hey, here's stylus, I didn't even know that was there.
Oh, my God.
It's like, wow.
That's what you're supposed to tap the
screen. I was looking for it earlier, but I didn't pay a lot of attention. I wasn't... Spent like 2 seconds looking.
I mean, well, look, doesn't it?
It slides right in there, nice and.
Does it look like a damn stylus?
No.
Can you tell?
That's why I didn't know what it was. I was like, "What the hell is this thing?" Yeah, that's pretty slick, though. Did it have something else too that you could put over your thumb? Did it come with something else?
Put over your thumb.
I must be insane. Everything that I've read kept saying you have something called a thumb guard. And I must be out of my mind, but I thought it was something that like slipped over your thumb, like a not quite like a thimble, but maybe, you know, had like the end of a stylus on it, which would keep some amount of accuracy on the touchpad.
Oh, I remember that. I don't know if it's out or if maybe it's something you have to buy separately.
Okay. God, I want one of these things so bad.
I remember
now.
What you're talking about.
They're
now.
Awesome.
Like a, had like a spike on the end of it.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Yeah. I just would have assumed something like that would have came with it, but I don't know. But,
What was that handheld called that, oh, the Nomad. Does anyone remember the Nomad?
I've heard of it. The Genesis thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That thing was big, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty big. It was kind of big, but...
That wasn't the Genesis one. That was Game Gear.
No, it was Genesis. It was... What it was a portable Genesis.
Yeah, the Nomad. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
And it used the Genesis cartridges.
8-bit Sega Master System type stuff.
The Nomad played the full-blown...
Yeah, Genesis real games. It was pretty awesome.
And, you know,
if you plugged in Genesis carts?
God, yes. That would have been fat had they not messed up when they made the style of it. The screen was... It got scratched up too easily, and you couldn't see no more, and you're looking at it. Like,
well, we've come a long way. This screen's really nice, and it's sharp. The graphics look really good on this. I was pretty impressed. Now, there's also a feature, like a download play feature I noticed on them. When you just turn it on, and it takes you to the menu of what you want to do. You know, it's got the clock and the calendar and all that crap, and then it says, do you want to launch, you know, your Game Boy Advance title, or do you want to launch your Nintendo DS title?
Yeah.
So there was another, or do you want to launch PictoChat? And the other option there was download play. Now that is for if there's somebody else nearby with, like, let's say, I don't know, some other game. You can click, you know, that was good. You can click that, and it would download from that other dude part of that game. So you could play like a demo. Like it might have like a demo of that game. So you could check it out on your Game Boy, and you know. Whatever, give
decide
it a whirl.
If you want to
so,
buy
yeah,
it or not.
Which I think it's pretty cool. Now, the only thing I don't know is how long it takes to transfer something of that size and if it stays on your Game Boy. Does it, like, stay there, or does it just, like, you get to click download play and then you have to stay within range of that dude to play?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's what it is because I don't think they would let you just transfer shit around like that. And I don't think this thing has that much memory to store something like that.
That's one thing I didn't see. What it has on it. It must have something on it, because you don't save to the games, I don't think.
Yeah, you save to the card.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
That's
saves
why
to the card.
It just doesn't seem like you would save to this.
And it seems
too
small.
Yeah.
But you do.
Well, yeah, but look at how much information they get on those little GameCube discs.
Yeah, that's true. It's almost
a
gig and a half.
Or how big are those thumb drives these days?
I got a gig one,
and that's
it's
small.
Tiny.
Yeah, there's like 10 gig ones and stuff.
Yeah,
they're that size.
They're not that size. They're the blocky ones, though. They're a little bit bigger.
But still, it's amazing how much information they get at such a small
area. That little DS card will easily hold those save games there. That's the thing. So, that's really cool, though. You know, I like that. I like, because, you know, Sony's going to have you buying a memory stick again. You know, you're gonna have to, and it's probably gonna be their memory stick. They call it that, and it's probably gonna be that thing.
You can turn the light on.
Yeah, the one that goes to their Sony TVs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can turn the light on and off.
Yeah.
Oh, there is an option. It's a software option. I thought it might be like a hardware switch.
But if that's the case, at least you can get the ones that are like 128 megs and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that I like that. I like being able to buy, and if they all work too, not that third party crap that you got to hit buttons on to switch banks and screw that. Let me just buy the biggest memory card I can and let it just work. You know, that would be nice. So, let's see, that Mario 64 game, I wanted to talk about that.
I guess
that.
You could set up a bunch of options on it, like on the
what
screen.
What have you got else here? Oh, okay. Oh, you can flip the screens? No, you can't. Oh, it tells you to, wait, what the hell?
No, because the bottom one's touch and the top one's not.
Yeah, that's why I all of a sudden clued in on that. GBA mode. Oh, that's what it is. You get to pick which one you want when you're playing Game Boy Advance screens. There's an option. So which one do you want your Game Boy Advance ones on? The top?
The bottom. I mean top, yeah.
Top, okay. Confirm. Default GBA screen set to top screen. My next option, change. Oh, wow, there is all kinds of crazy shit in here.
Now, what does it display on the other screen when you're playing a GBA game?
It's usually blank.
Okay. Does it say black?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because if they kept the light on beaming at you, that would suck. Change the clock. Enter today's date. You know what though? I keep wanting to touch the top screen.
I do that too.
Let me use the stylus. Let me get a good feel for this thing. I keep wanting to touch the top screen.
Now this is good radio.
This is great.
Testing stuff on
that's,
there.
That's right. What else we got here? You can enter your birthday. Okay. You can select your favorite color. I imagine that has something to do with the background, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well,
right? You can enter a personal message.
Font color and stuff.
I imagine this is when you turn the thing on, you know?
I personally like to turn off that health warning.
Yeah, I know. That's a pisser, isn't it? You can calibrate the touch screen. Okay, press B to cancel. That's pretty cool. There's a whole little set feature option there. Dude, you know what? I would lose this damn stylus, though.
Well, you can buy packages on.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can buy like a package of five or whatever.
Okay. Well, that is really cool.
They also come in different colors if that's your thing.
Really? I'm all over a red one. Now, you said something about, that's really cool. Okay, and the sound in this thing.
The sound in it is really good. That's what, you know, when I was playing Mario, you got, all right.
Here, it looks like stereo sound. There's speakers on either side of the top screen, which is unusual.
Which is nice.
Yeah, because the Game Boys usually only have the one speaker. Let's now, whether this is actual stereo or like a joint stereo or like mono split, I don't know.
I don't know, but if you ask me, it doesn't really matter. I mean, with the speakers that close together, it just makes them together anyway.
I mean, doesn't that sound good?
That does sound. It sounds just like the Nintendo 64 Super Mario 64.
I am also very impressed as to the resolution of the world. You can tell it's lower than what the N64 was.
The textures are a lot lower quality textures.
It is so, a little pixelier, but it compared to what you think it should be, it's quite good.
It's really, really impressive. All right, now the cool thing, okay. One of the things about this Mario 64 game is that you've got two screens now, okay? And what have they done with the second screen?
Well, you can rotate them around the map. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can move them with it if you want to.
Really?
That's your thing, you know?
Nice.
Or you can use the standard setup, you know? And just use a controller like I do. I can't see myself trying to control him with this. That would be crazy.
Yeah, but that way he can run without holding down that other button.
Yeah. Now, you've also got a map on that bottom screen, which is very, very nice. You have, all the time at your disposal, a map of every single place that you can go in this game, which is cool.
Which is nice.
You know, yeah.
You didn't have that on the 64.
It's not a ghetto map. It's not, do not think black background wireframe map. It is not a ghetto map. This is like a full, like real 3D map there that you're just looking overhead down on, which is really awesome. Those kind of maps in some games, they really add to the game, and this I think is perfect. It's even the map is all Nintendo'd up, you know what I mean? It's got like the mushroom faces hidden in the pattern on the ground where the grass is cut kind of shit, you know, stuff like that. It's really cool, it's bright and colorful. Doesn't it have like a little icon to show who you are? Yeah, it shows Mario, then it shows which direction. The map rotates around. It's really a neat map. You know, and the whole
thing. You said something about being able to play as Yoshi and some of
Wario
else.
And
you
Luigi.
You can play as Yoshi, Wario,
Luigi.
Luigi. Okay. You know, you have to unlock them all with Yoshi. Like,
With Yoshi?
Yeah, you didn't get Mario to start off with.
Whoa.
You had to get the key. And once you got the key, you unlock him.
Mario.
Yeah. Okay. But it's not hard to do. And they added more levels. There's more levels.
Yeah. Wasn't there only 120 stars to get in the first one?
Yes.
Right? There's 150 in this one. However, I'm under the impression that it's not 30 new levels.
No, well, this...
It's because there's 36 little mini-games in this.
Well, there's, what, 6 or 10 stars per level?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so you wouldn't get 30 new levels. You'd get maybe 3.
Well, yeah, I meant objectives, but yeah, you'd only get a few new levels, which would be great. I would love 3 levels and designed in that way, you know, that weren't like the tropical island. And, but
or maybe one tropical
you know, island. Yeah, throw a tropical island on there. One. Uno. Okay, yeah. But there's like a Princess Peach's rec room. It's like a little recreation room with like gambling games, and there's a...
Well, that's still cool.
You know, yeah, I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, and I'm sure you can get all kinds of... That's where you would make up the stars. I don't think
you make your stars up there.
You don't think there's extra ones you can earn there?
No, I don't. I know there isn't. So, you know, there's
so they must
more
have
levels,
levels or this. Just another objective to each level, maybe. Which would be kind of gay. That would be kind of lame. It'd be really nice if they added, like, a whole other section of, like, 2 or 3 levels, you know, like you said. That'd be awesome. But, I don't know, there's a versus mode, too. If you're, you know, nearby other players with it, you only need one copy of the game. It will download the other crap
whatever
to your buddies, Yeah, and it's pretty neat. You've got a little versus mode kind of thing. You can fight each other, I guess, whatever the hell, you know, you might do there. I don't know. I would be into this thing just to play Mario 64 again in all its glory, except for smaller and maybe a little bit less texture quality, but I could take it anywhere. It is a pretty nifty little machine there. I'm thoroughly impressed with it, and I was not too happy at first when I first saw it. You know, and now that I've gotten my hands on one, the DS is gonna have to make up some ground. Okay, and I mean real ground. Not this, oh, we're gonna be able to do this though, we think, by release. No.
You mean PSP.
You know, or PSP, yeah. Show me what this thing can do. And so I'm gonna get my hands on one of those and see, but I don't know, man. I don't wanna buy one of those PlayStations.
Another question I have about the extra characters, do they have different gameplay? Or do they all play the same as Mario?
No, they play different.
Really?
Yeah, it's like when you get Yoshi, you can, if you want, there's a hat you can get in the level that turns you into Mario, but he still kind of moves like Yoshi. It's weird. You'd have to do it. But he plays like Yoshi. You could spit out the eggs.
Oh, cool. Okay.
That's interesting.
That's awesome. And that's going to completely change the style of that game then, because, you know, before, the first time around, you played it through as just Mario, you know, and wow.
Playing a level as Yoshi would be a completely different experience.
Yeah. That is wild.
Yeah, it's challenging.
That is cool. It'll be interesting to see if they port a lot of Nintendo 64 stuff over. You know, it'd be really interesting to see if they bring over Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask.
That would be fat.
That would be pretty fat. However,
I'd have to buy one.
I must say,
they don't have the buttons for it.
That very well may be. But like, they've got remakes already. You know. I've got it on my GameCube of, you know, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I quite
mean... But it wasn't one you bought. It was something they gave away.
Well, yeah.
There wasn't... You couldn't go out and buy Ocarina of Time at a store.
That's what makes it so cool. But yeah, I see what you're saying. That, you know, it's not like a mass market product item. It was more just like a, you know, we know people love this, so we'll go ahead and do... This is why I like Nintendo.
And Mario Kart. You know? They're coming out with Mario Kart.
Yeah.
That right there is like, yes.
You know, there is a Mario Kart game coming out. There is, and the only thing I know about it so far is that there's a map. I actually wrote down little notes based on screenshots I was able to find. Let's see, Mario Kart DS, the race is on the top screen. You also have the speed on there, what's it called, tachometer, the place you're in, right? Like if you're in first place, you know, there's like a big number one there or whatever. And then what weapon you have is all, looks like it was on the top screen in the screenshots that I saw. On the bottom screen, you've got the time and like stats and the map. You know, like, I guess the place was on there, and so, or the, you know, exact time, seconds, like, you know, all that kind of crap was there, and the map. And the map, again, had that, the feel that this one has, the one for the Mario 64 has,
right,
where it's a really nice, detailed, bright, colorful, not some ghetto map. This is a nice map. You know, like, you would almost rather look at the map, you know, the race sometimes, because it's so well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's pretty cool. You know, now the only thing, does it control fine when you're playing? Because you've got a D-pad, you don't have an analog stick.
Control's fine.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
But if you don't like it, you can use the touchpad to.
Oh yeah, to move
like a D-stick.
Yeah, I guess so, huh? I guess so. There's other games that have tried to use that same. This is the gimmick for the thing. This is what's selling this thing is the touchscreen. Nintendo, I'm glad they're really ramping it up. They're really pointing to the attention of how cool this touchscreen thing is, because it is very well cool, and it does have a lot of great uses. Some of the games, like Ridge Racer DS, uses that to steer. You do have the option of using the D-pad, but you also have the option of using the stylus to control the steering of this thing. Now, I've read reviews on it, and everybody says that it's really, really hard to control. They say it's really hard to control with the stylus. And if you use the D-pad, you're back to the old days of how I still play, tapping. You know, you tap like hell to, you know, take that corner. You don't smoothly turn that corner like you would with an analog stick. That's just the way that I've always played these, you know. And I don't know if people just aren't used to it. And
you know what they could do is, like, okay, you have the screen down here. They could put, like, a picture of an analog stick right there, and you could like move your thumb
that's
over
not
it
a
and
bad idea.
And just use the buttons. You know,
that's not a
that
bad idea
fat.
At all.
I'm telling you, all they need is a little hole in the middle of the D-pad with a tiny stick that screws into it.
Yep, that would have been the way to go. Like the Sega Master System controllers had. Believe it or not, they had it wasn't analog, but it had a hole in the middle, a screw, a little plug, a little plastic plug over it if you didn't want to look at it. You took it out, there's a screw hole there, the female end of the screw thing. Then you had the little joystick end of it, which only stood up about maybe 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah.
And you screwed it in, and that was like a little joystick you had, and it was awesome. I mean, it worked great. Now, they could have easily done that with this. You know, and they probably should have, I think. But I don't know. It seems like it's really cool so far. We have a lot of good stuff coming out for it. This Mario Kart game's got me all psyched because I could not stand the GameCube version. You know, it's going to be, and I really liked the last Super Mario game, Mario Kart game. I liked it was on, what was it called? Super Circuit on the SP? That was a hell of a lot of fun. That was cool. But now you have a brighter screen, you know, you've got a little bit more power behind the machine. You know, this is good. I think Nintendo did a hell of a good job. Just curious to see how it's going to do versus Sony's PSP.
Yeah, that PSP looked pretty cool.
It looks mean, doesn't it? It looks pretty mean.
I was looking at it, but the only thing I don't like about it is it has no protection on the screen. You know, it's right there. So, it's all open, so,
yeah.
You know, it's going to get scratched. Well,
at least this thing closes up like a clam, so at least the monitors are, you know, the
yeah,
screens are
safe,
secured, you know, enough. That's what I really like about my SP. You know what's going to suck? Is when I get to bed tonight, when I do my ritual of laying there in bed playing Zelda, you know, I'm going to wish it was a DS. God damn you. I should have eBayed it before the DS came out. You know, like 2 or 3 weeks before the DS came out.
Weren't they
know?
Going for like $1,000?
What?
On eBay?
What?
Before it came out?
No. I should have eBayed my SP before that came out. That's what I, you know.
At the time, you thought it was going to be crap.
Yeah, I know. I'm stupid, aren't I? Damn it. Let's see. That Ridge Racer game, since we were talking about it, it's got, you know, the usual power slides and 360 spins and a whole bunch of that crap to look forward to. Grand Prix mode, there's a car attack mode, a time attack mode. 6-player multiplayer, though. So that might be kind of cool for racing fans. And there was another race car game coming out for it already called Asphalt Urban GT, which, to tell you the truth, neither one of these games have gotten great reviews anywhere. They really have. I haven't played either one, but just from what I've seen, neither one of them has gotten even. They've been about mediocre, you know, like maybe the 5 out of 10 kind of review. You know, Ridge Racer was knocked for the controls mainly because they said it was bad overall. And everything I've seen about Asphalt Urban GTs is just that there's weird other little annoyances. Like it's a very fun arcade racer, but like the tracks aren't big enough. Apparently they give you turbo, right? So you hit turbo, you go flying away, but the courses are so windy that you don't want to use turbo because you hit it, then you slam on your brakes.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you touch the wall, you come to a dead stop.
Oh.
You know, yeah, so it seems like that's another, this is a shovelware title, you know, just get it out the door, you know, get titles on this machine. Just shove it out the door.
Yeah, they do that with every system now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Nintendo doesn't seem to shovel stuff out too much on their home consoles, but
they do on their handhelds.
On their handhelds, they really, really, yeah, they wrote the book. Sony stole, you know, that from them. Okay, and this has real and fake cars. This Asphalt Urban game, whatever the hell it's called, real and fake cars, and it's got like sports cars all the way up to 4x4s. So, I don't know, if racing is your thing, you know, hey, you know, you might want to look into one of those too. And, of course, they have a football game, you know, seeing as how this is, you know, the era of EA, every system must have Madden NFL on it, so we have Madden.
Even PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Was it 2004?
4 might have been the last one.
But
four.
Still.
And that's a long way to go, I know. They really, really pushed that down. That Madden license and that NFL. Now they're NFL exclusivity. We've got Madden NFL 2005 on the DS, and I don't know. It looked to me like Madden 99 on my Super Nintendo. You know, it looked.
Really.
Yeah, it didn't look very good.
Considering the power of this thing, I mean, it looks.
The screenshots make it look flat, pixel 2D.
Oh.
But I'm fairly certain that it's, you know, all nice 3D. It's just that I don't know if it was the angle I was looking at the screens. It didn't look very good. but I've never, ever, 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 ever been impressed by a football game on a handheld, ever. Right. I've never even thought remotely they were even decent. So I don't know. I enjoyed Madden's on the Super Nintendo and Genesis, though. So this now falls under the category of a decent football game. It's Madden 2005, so you may as well go buy it if you're a sports fan. You know, it's got the dual screen is kind of neat because now you can see way more of the field. You know, yeah. On playing a football game, you've got two screens to show that field. You can pick your plays on either screen, I guess. At least from what I was reading, it looked like you had the option to use the controls like normal to pick it, and it would, you know, control on the top screen. Or you had the stylus to tap which play you wanted on the bottom screen for this football game. In a game like this, though, it seems like, okay, that's fluff. You don't need two different ways to pick your thing. I mean... We need to get you some cough drops before the show or something.
Today's been bad.
It just seems like it was just extra fluff. You know, like, okay, now we have two screens so you can pick your play on either screen. You don't need that. They could have put something better there. They could have put Madden down there talking the whole time. You know, instead of the very, very few lines of commentary that he has. One of the best things about these Madden games is that you get to listen to thousands of hours of dialogue. Well, probably, maybe not thousands of hours, but quite a bit of dialogue. Mm-hmm. And in the DS Madden NFL 2005, there's just not that much room on that tiny little chip for digitized voice. So you don't have that many voices. You know, you don't get to hear that much commentary.
You know, in football games, I don't look for the commentary. I look for the gameplay.
Yeah.
How does it play?
You can listen to Madden say that 90% of football is half mental.
I really enjoy the commentary for a while. I end up turning it off in almost every single game that has it, you know. This is so funny. We've been passing this... Now, the listeners can't see this. We've been passing the DS around, and we're, like, looking at it like it's some ancient artifact that we've never seen before, or some kind of shit from outer space. And we're poking and prodding and touching and adjusting and messing with every little thing that it's got.
Well, what I just noticed, and I was actually waiting for a time to say this, there is no port to connect this to a console.
Yeah, there is. It's the one on the top up there. Flip it around. It's a little square one with a notch on the top. Ta-da! That's the one where you power it, and it's also the one that plugs into the controller.
Oh, that does both?
That's the one that goes, yeah, that's your power, that's your battery, your battery, whatever the hell it is, battery charger, and then your link to your GameCube is that link right there. Yeah, it goes in the same slot.
Never mind.
Which sucks, because when you're playing Wind Waker, because we know everybody spends all day playing Wind Waker,
right.
So awesome, you know, you hook up your Game Boy Advance SP to it, and you want to play... for all day, it's your day off, and you want to have that stupid-ass little sprite bothering you the whole time, you can't charge your damn your Game Boy.
Yeah.
You can't charge it. You know, you're going to run out of batteries, you know? I mean, sucks. I don't know what they were thinking. They should have just put two on there or made something different so you can power it while you're, you know, from the wall or charge it.
Yeah.
I would like to sit and play a game that utilized that feature of my GameCube all day. And then be able to pick up and go.
I'm sure if you were just using it for that, the battery life on that would last like well over 12 hours.
It probably would last a hell of a long time, but what if I was doing that and then getting ready to leave the house? You know, like I was gonna, I had to be somewhere, you know, in 5 hours, but I sat here and played for, you know, over 5 or 10 hours. Then I wanted to go, but it wasn't charged. You know, that would suck. You know, it sounds unlikely, but believe it or not, I do play that many games, so, you know. I get going sometimes, it just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
So I've touched it and poked and prodded enough. Anything else, and I'm they're gonna arrest me.
It's too young.
There is a very interesting Donkey Kong game coming out for this. Also, it is called Donkey Kong King of Swing, and you use the left and right buttons to control each of Donkey Kong's hands. Like right hand is R, right? And the way you swing isn't like, you know, you just have like a jump off the rope, you know, or the vine button, and then you just grab another one. You actually swing with one hand, and he swings, and you hit the other one, then he grabs with his other hand, and then you swing, like, you know, alternating left and right swings to travel. Pretty cool.
I assume there's more to the game than that.
There is, but I thought that was a really cool feature of it.
Right.
Because Nintendo has been saying for a while now that they're going to change the way, not only the games that we play, the experiences we have, but the way that we play them. And I think the DS is a good example of the first step. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I really wanted to kind of mention that specifically for this reason. Donkey Konga, you know, and Jungle Beat, You've got those conga things. We've never had something like that before. The closest we had was the Dance Dance Revolution. Okay, but you know what? That was called the Power Pad. Also brought to you by Nintendo. Okay, you know, you had the Light Gun. You had the Bazooka. Remember that thing, the Super Scope?
Yeah.
You had the Power Glove, right? Nintendo is, like, coming back, I think, to where... Maybe that's what they're sitting there doing, too. When they're sitting at Nintendo headquarters, they're thinking, how come the Nintendo was so popular, and now the GameCube isn't so popular? And they're thinking, well, it's because we had all them crazy, weird peripherals, so now we'll bring that back. But anyway, Nintendo has been saying recently that they wanted to change the way that we play the game, and I think that we're starting to see the first, you know, the first little hints of what we've got.
That's a good thing, too.
I think it is, too.
I think it's going to be a very good thing.
The controller may be almighty, but is not the only. You know, there is other ways to play these games, and if Nintendo could come up with a not only fun, but a good way to do it, you know, you're gonna really, really have a hit. And I think that's it. I mean, like, it sounds dumb. Okay, yeah, that's great. You use left and right to swing around the vines. Why? Okay, if that's so dumb, how come we didn't see it before? And tell me that you can think of a better way of making it feel like you were swinging from vine to vine. You know, with a DS and the limited buttons you have, and you can't have all kinds of crazy peripherals hooked up to it. You're not going to have, like, a 3D motion sensor, you know, or anything like that.
Not yet.
You know, not yet, yeah. We're not going to be able to stand in our living rooms and make the swinging motion just yet. But for now, we're getting there. And Nintendo is going to take us there.
I mean, I'm jealous of my kid, you know, because he's going to get to see what we're not going to get to see.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're talking full virtual realities coming, you know.
Awesome. I think that'll happen. In our
jar. Put me into a jar and preserve me until that happens.
Chunk.
Yeah, plug me in, right into the back of the skull, Matrix style. Do what you gotta do. I will become part of the Matrix. That is
fine. IV in me, catheter bag. I'm done.
Exactly. Exactly. If I could just sit there and live in the world like EverQuest all the time, that's where I want to be. You know. Except for with hotter chicks. So, or ones that would at least talk to me. I'll settle for that. Jesus. Now, also on that King of Swing game, the levels, I was looking at like screenshots of some of like the level layout. It looked very puzzle game-like, not platform game-like. So I don't know what they're cooking up there, but we're gone there for a second. We were talking about how Nintendo's changing the way that we're playing the games, not just, you know, the games that we're having. You know, because a lot of people are saying, oh, Christ, it's Nintendo. Mario, Star Fox, Luigi, Donkey Kong, the same shit over and over and over. We're tired of it. That's first of all, I think a good thing to have characters you can recognize specifically from a marketing standpoint, you know. Mm-hmm. Plus, I have happy childhood memories. You know, I do not have any happy memories of Crash Bandicoot and every, you know, all the random dudes that Sony tried. Yeah. You know, Spyro the Dragon, all that crap. You know, I don't have happy memories of that crap because they didn't stick. They sucked. Stick with what works, and now they're changing the way that we are playing these games. That's why I think that L&R thing is going to be kind of a neat way to swing through the levels and whatnot. But the levels looked almost like it was a puzzle game, like you were trying to play Puzzle Bobble, you know, or something like that. Or I don't know, it just seemed like there was a lot of weird things, but it seemed like it was very fast action oriented though, almost like you were trying to dodge shit while you were flying around because you swing pretty fast. It seemed like, I don't know, until I get my hands on it, maybe watch a video or two and see exactly how it plays. I'm probably completely wrong, but at least the controls, I know how that works. Mm-hmm. Seems pretty cool though. There's a Mario Party game coming out. We saw this one coming too. I mean, what is more perfect for multiplayer games than the portable system that's, you know, wireless even? There's 60 single player games in this, and you can play with up to like, crap, I didn't see how many people. I thought I wrote that down. Anyway, but there's head-to-head battles. You and your buddy can fight each other over the wireless connection. There's not just head-to-head battles. There's not just versus battles. There's co-op games. There's little things that you guys can, I guess, do together, or at least, I guess maybe not co-op is the right word, but at least games that you guys can compete against each other where you're not beating each other up, you're just trying to beat something first. Right. 60 single-player games, and you earn, during, I guess, the single-player game, you earn points and money and coins and whatnot, you know? And apparently, now I was having trouble following this, so I don't quite understand, you could get... They were calling them gadgets. You could get items, okay, that had a very wide range of usefulness. And the only one that I can remember, and I didn't write any of them down, but the one that comes to mind that I can remember was like an X-ray glasses kind of thing or something like that. Oh. Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But anyway, but you get weird little shit. Anyhow, you can team up with your buddies, and if, like, you know, somebody had something you wanted and whatever, you could trade those items between your DSs.
Gotta have them all.
Yeah, totally. And you know this is good. This is gonna eat it up. This is for Pokemon. This is perfect. You know, you're gonna have, like, wireless battles and shit all over the schools and stuff.
They have those for the SP now.
Wireless.
The new Pokemons came with plug-in.
Like a wireless card? Wireless. That's craziness. That is pretty cool. That's pretty neat.
You got the card I want. Yeah.
Totally. You know, but you could, you know, if you're into the collection game type of stuff, you could totally, you know, use the trading and advantages of all that crap. Now, there is a normal one here. Mr. Driller, Drill Spirits. I'm sure a lot of people play the original Mr. Driller games where you're, like, drilling down to this thing and shit falls in your head and you've got to find oxygen tanks so you can keep drilling down deeper, and it's kind of like reverse Tetris in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, there is a Mr. Driller game coming out from this. It's a puzzle game. You get to drill down, crap falls on top of you, you know, you got to find those oxygen tanks just like before, but you can also use the stylus. Now, this is Nintendo fucking with our heads again. You can use the stylus to break the bricks. So think about it, instead of just, like, holding down and pressing the button to drill down, you got the stylus now, and you can drill right below your guy. Now, not all bricks take the same amount of drills, right? So you don't just hit the button once and you drill down. You've got, like, let's say, you know, a certain color brick takes two drills, so you hit the button twice. If you're using the stylus, you're going tap, tap, right? You got a black one, say it's five, tap, 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 tap. Now think about it, Mr. Driller. Now you've got this, like, drill motion with your hand. It's in your head now. You're like, I think they're onto something. I mean, they're really getting you more involved in the game by changing the way that we're playing this game. You know, I've been kind of excited to see how well this turned out, and I think they've made some very good choices. Because at first, recall the older episodes of the shows that we did, where we talked about what you could use the screen for. Mm. And remember, all we really came up with was picking plays on football games and maps for RPGs.
Right.
Or status, or your stats on RPGs. We never envisioned shit like this, and Nintendo's got a crack team of people, I think, working on this, because they got some pretty slick stuff. Whereas Sony, I'm pretty sure, just stole the disc idea from one of our, like, first five episodes. I'm convinced. I swear to God. Didn't remember that? I think Hunter was there for that. I think you were. Remember, we were talking about a portable system with a disc way before the PSP came out. You know, and then all of a sudden it was announced, and here you go, it's got a disc, and I think we said something. See, they stole that idea from us. But anyway, the Mr. Driller game sounds pretty cool. You know, you get you can play five players on the wireless connection, up to five people, and they've got different game modes. They got, like, the regular mission mode, you know, then they've got, like, a time attack mode. Then there's a, what do they call it? Pressure Driller, and it looks more like a, I don't know what to think of it, like an Uber time attack mode or something, because there's, like, this giant drill coming down at you, and you gotta, like, outpace it or something. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, but it's a lot of fun. You know what I think is gonna be also fun? I don't know, I haven't seen this yet. Is there a Bomberman game scheduled for this yet?
Not that I read.
Yeah, I haven't seen one either, but that would be really cool. It'd be nice to have a Bomberman game on this. They could do some pretty neat stuff, you know? I don't know exactly what yet, but they could do some pretty neat stuff. Now there's a couple weird... There's a couple weird games coming out that I don't quite know how to explain. Well, we're going to try, though.
They seem to be focusing only on the touch aspect.
What's that Field of Magic XYXX one?
This is very much like WarioWare. Like chromosomes,
by the way, yeah.
Yeah. The storyline is you're trying to impress some chick or something.
Yeah, she was kidnapped and you're trying to rescue her or some shit.
Something's going on.
You fall in love and you're chasing her all over the world or something.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of minigames, and they all pretty much rely on the touchpad.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And so it's just like a different type of WarioWare from what I can imagine.
Isn't there a Wario game coming out, though?
Yes.
Oh, there is. So that's going to be some nice competition. However, this one seemed to have more of a story. Didn't it feel like WarioWare was just minigame after minigame after tier of minigame after tier of minigame? Yes. This one seemed to have, like, I mean, you were like, hell, we spent the first part talking about it. You're some dude, I guess, who's chasing after some girl he fell in love with. The style of that game is really weird, too. Yeah, it was very...
Like, no one has any faces, it's all black.
Yeah, very
funky
70s silhouette-ish outline. It's very strange, very strange. It's kind of like bland cell shading or something.
It's very weird.
Yeah, but it is definitely in like an artistic style. You know, it definitely, it's pretty well done because you know what shit is. You know, when you see, there was a screenshot we saw where the guy was on a boat somewhere and the water was solid blue. Mm-hmm. The guy was black and his little boat was black because he was like not the main thing of the focus, you know, like of the shot. And there was birds flying that were black and then like a yellow sky and like a little island or something. But you were able to recognize shit. It wasn't hard to look at. It didn't drive you quite nuts. It was interesting though. It's a pretty interesting style of game. Hopefully the minigames are fun. Hopefully they're not just like rehashes of the WarioWare, which I'm sure they're gonna be a lot of them that are just like completely retarded in there, but who knows. There was that Sprung game. This one gets me. Did you see that one?
I didn't read about it.
Sprung. The original title was... Exactly. The original title was Crush, and it's a dating sim. Okay, where basically you get to pick if you play as a dude or a chick. It's a choose your own adventure book is what these really come down to, though, I think.
I used to love those as a kid.
Yeah, the books were great. The games suck ass. The books, I used to love the books, but the games, you've just got like, I don't know, you're staring at a screen and they're trying to tell you something and you don't care. Why are they all dating sims, you know? Because I didn't have a dating sim choose your own adventure book.
I think there's a bunch of lonely-ass fucking game developers.
Yeah, there is. My God. You know, but and I guess this one spans over 50 missions, but it looked pretty well animated, though. You know, it kind of reminded me of, like, some of these anime-based, well, anime art-based RPGs that we play where when the guy talks, his head pops up on the screen like a big still shot of his head, and then the text he says. But this is, like... It doesn't pop up. You walk up to the character, and they look that detailed, though. They look pretty good. There's over 50 missions, though, but it struck me as a very teenage kind of game. You know what I mean? Like,
you know where that's coming from. It's like because the dating sims in Japan are huge.
Yeah.
So a lot more than that
influence is like spilling over here to the U.S. where it isn't like that. Here.
Yeah, and
you know, we don't really care for that type of game.
But the difference being is that over there, they're more sexual. Over here, they went with, like, the teeny bopper, this is the hip thing to do kind of way. Like, the game really strikes you as, like, you know, you're going to catch people in the gap playing this. Okay? It's just, like, it's weird. You know, all the, you know, people are going to be sitting around the mall playing this. You know, it's a very teeny bopperish kind of thing. It was weird. What I was looking at was just like, I don't know. What was that Yoshi game that you were looking at?
This, I don't know about this yet. I mean, it just came out in Japan, so we got a little ways to go before it comes out here. But it appears that you're baby Mario on a Yoshi, like Yoshi's Island. And it's side-scrolling. And from what I can gather, Yoshi is always running forward. And the object of this game is to not only have Yoshi shoot his eggs out into the second screen to collect
coins. Wow.
And blow up enemies and stuff, but you're also using the stylus to draw clouds that act as like bridges, and you can use them as ramps and all kinds of crazy stuff, and then you also have to jump. So you have like three things that are going on all at once, and it looks...
That's pretty cool,
really
though.
Really interesting. Because like, it could be a real headache.
It seems like it's going to keep your attention,
yeah.
Which is what I need a little bit more of these days. You know, I find that I'll play a game like Zelda while I'm crafting an EverQuest, and I discover that, like, you know, I'll sit there and I'm crafting and I'll play Zelda, you know, and I'll move Link a step and then go back to crafting. And I'll space out, you know, because it's not keeping my attention, you know. I don't need something that's like WarioWare where it's just like you can't look away from it. And that sounds like it's going to be a bit like that, but hopefully with a little bit less intensity, I guess. Something about that. So, I don't know. You know what it sounds like you can do also? If you're drawing, you're drawing the clouds.
From what I gather, you're drawing the clouds, yes.
Okay. That sounds exactly what they're doing with the Kirby game for the DS. They're coming out with a Kirby, you know, Kirby, everybody lovable little marshmallow puffy cloud dude, whatever. He's going to run along. I don't know if he runs all the time though, but you have like rainbow ink you can paint with. And you draw, you know, ramps and bridges and loops and all this shit. But I could have sworn they said something about you draw the attacks too. And I'm not quite sure what that means.
Huh.
You know, which is cool. Which is cool with me because I'd like to find out. You know. So you know what's funny too? Nintendo solved the emulation problem.
Yeah.
You know what are you gonna do?
You can't play these without the touchscreen.
You know? Yeah. I mean,
there's
nothing you could do. Nothing. I mean, you could use the mouse, I guess, but that's so far from a touchscreen, you know, to control, like, if the mouse cursor was where you were touching, and you had to click and hold or something like that, that's still far from far from where you want to be.
Plus, even if they could get it to work right, how much a hassle that would be for the emulator writers?
Oh my god. But it would be cool to play a game that didn't use the stylus so much, like Mario 64,
yeah,
where it was just a map. I would dig having a map there, too. That'd be pretty neat, you know, not have to worry about the touchscreen end of it, though. There's a Rayman game coming out also. You know, Rayman? Yeah, it did look good, didn't it? I was very impressed with that. There was a...
You know, I'm hoping it does as well as it did on the Dreamcast.
Those games were fun.
Yeah, when we first got Rayman on the Dreamcast, it was like, oh my god, yeah, look at the graphics mm-hmm. on this. And that's what struck me about this game. You know, you looked at it and you go, wow, that's coming from this little thing?
Yeah, this looks like the same way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the environment's extremely detailed, very vibrant and bright, or dark and scary, but like blue and purple and black, you know, like that kind of a colored, painted look, almost, I guess.
Yeah.
I think they did a hell of a good job with all the beautiful graphics. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Not a whole lot of details other than that out yet, so I really don't know what's going on as far as, like, the story and everything. But
I mean,
I'm sure it's going to be, you know, standard Rayman platformer.
You know this is going to do good because it's by Nintendo. I mean, every handheld system they've come out with has been a hit. So I'm really behind this. So I'm not too worried about maybe, oh, that's going to go obsolete or whatever. They'll stand behind us for years.
Oh, that's what I'm worried about with the PSP coming out, though, is that it's going to be popular because it's Sony. You know, I mean, the PlayStation generation is here, and they have taken over, and they are the ones calling the shots now, and Sony's got them wrapped up. And they would rather have a PSP than a DS, I guarantee it.
But I was already reading on the thing on the DS. They said, yes, it's great, it's vibrant, it's beautiful, but there's defects. In almost every model they've made, there's been a defect.
In the DS?
No, in the new Sony,
in the PSP. Yeah, there was
like
lots
the gun.
yeah, it shoots out the discs. You know, it plays this, and if you just twist it, the game pops out.
Yeah.
You know, there was the buttons aren't lined up right on the top and on the bottom. So when you're hitting them, you know how it pushes, and it pushes that little rubber pad that actually hits the sensor. They're not lined up right all the time. There's a lot of problems, lots of dead pixels. I mean, there's a lot of issues. Also, some of the DSs were shipping with dead pixels. But Nintendo was replacing them flat out,
mm-hmm.
right? So there was not a problem. But I haven't seen any other problem with the DS other than the occasional dead pixel. PSP, I've seen, you know, so far, not so good. But that's why, you know, that's out there, and we don't have it here yet. They're going to let them beta test it for us.
I imagine a lot of those things will get fixed before it may.
I'm pretty sure it will, too, because I don't think that shit would stand. I'm sure over there it's kind of like, we forgive you. You know, over here, we're taking you to court, Sony. You know, that's why I'd be a little afraid to put anything in the American market with, you know, how litigious we are. So there's good news, an Advance Wars game coming out. Okay, now, I like this series to a point. I dig the multiplayer end of it. I really like it. The single player end, I don't like the way it's more of a figure out the only way that you're allowed to go through here kind of thing. But the multiplayer is dope, and you can make your own maps and whatnot, so that's pretty cool. You know, I like making a map and playing on it to see how the computer would play kind of shit, you know, something like that. Rather than using their set-up ones where the computer has a preset way and you have, I swear to God, it feels like you have a cut, clear path is the only way that you can win that map most of the time, you know, towards the end of the harder levels anyway. No matter how many times you play, you can't just, like, you know, overbear them, you know, because they give you this many turns, you know, and then they work backwards from there. So it's easy for them and hard for us to try to decode. But the bottom screen is your play map. The graphics look exactly, though, to me, like they do on the Game Boy Advance. I really think they should revamp the graphics and bring them up quite a bit for this thing, and I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to based on, I imagine, how far they are through the development of this already, you know? But the bottom screen is your, you know, you got your little tanks and your planes and all that crap. It's the same map you had in the Game Boy Advance versions of it. This is a real, it's a turn-based strategy.
I know.
Oh, okay. And the top screen is like a world map that showed missile launches. You know, so I don't know what that has to do with the gameplay. Whether or not that's like showing what mission you're on, or whether or not it shows where you're going next, or it's trying to tell some kind of story about, oh my god, the enemy just launched missiles up here, you know, or what. But it was saying something about missile launches. Like, and it's hard to read that little screen, too, so all I basically could read was missile. So I don't know, it was kind of like a war games-y looking map, too, you know, well, you know, all colored up, you know, for Advance Wars style, but it was like that map where you show the little missile arc, you know, missile from here to here kind of yeah. thing, you know, yeah, it totally kind of, you know, reminded me of that kind of a thing. So it was a little strange, because I don't know what it's going to be used for yet, but I really would like to get my hands on it to find out. And I don't know. I almost bought Suikoden 4 today as it was. I can't even afford that, and now Hunter got me drooling over the damn DS here because it's so nice. However, I'm going to have to wait to see how the PSP goes, too, because I don't have, you know, money to be blown away on crap like this. However, I don't think you could go wrong putting money into this. I really don't, particularly if these are the kind of games that you want to play, you know. Yeah. I'm just curious to see what Sony's going to do, and then I'll just have to make my call. But right now, I'm leaning way towards the DS. Way towards the DS. And it's for things like this. Games that I know. Games that I love. There's a Castlevania game coming out for the DS, okay? Now, if anybody's played any of the Castlevania games on the Game Boy Advance, they know how awesome they really are. They are nuts. Okay, I can't get over how much fun whatever the hell ones I was playing were. You know, I couldn't stop when I got it. I was just like, oh my god, I can't believe this is a 2D side-scrolling action game, and I'm loving the hell out of it, okay? Proof that 2D is not dead. And they are going ahead and they're making one, I don't have a name for it yet, but it's a sequel to Area of Sorrows, which was on the Game Boy Advance also. A really cool one there. It continues the story after that ended. And the hook for the touchscreen part of this is pretty interesting. And I think it makes a lot of sense. You're fighting a boss, and through normal gameplay, you can kill the boss. You can get the boss down to 0 hit points.
Right.
But he won't die. What you've got to do is once you kill him, and I imagine you had to find a book or a scroll in the castle before you fought this boss, or you wouldn't be able to kill him. And you would find the scroll, I imagine, you get something to know what magical... I'm trying to think of the right words here. There's like a magic symbol, like an arcane symbol to seal him away. So you cannot just kill the guy with like slashing your whip at him. You have to bring him down to 0 hit points, and then with the stylus or whatever, draw this arcane symbol to banish him from the castle. Cool. Isn't that neat?
That is fast.
Right? I mean, that's a good use of the stylus again. You know, good job, Nintendo.
That's really cool.
It really feels like you're doing some shit there now.
I like that in black and white, too, how that was how you cast spells.
Oh, yeah, huh, where you would move it around like that? I didn't even think about that. You know, that is really cool. I think that was a good use of that. And plus, I mean, that right there, if you don't buy that game, there is something wrong with you, I think.
I'll buy it.
I really think you will, because I remember you telling me how awesome the other one was, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I got it, and was just like, I can't stop playing these games, you know? These games are awesome. So I know the one for the DS is just going to be that much cooler, you know? However, the graphics did appear to be... They looked just like the Game Boy Advance graphics, which are not bad. They're just not what I would expect. I would think they would pump it up a notch or two, you know?
Oh, there'll be something there.
Yeah, I think it might just be really bad screenshots or something. You know, I'm not so sure about it yet. I'm going to have to get my hands on more of this crap or something, or just break down and buy the damn thing and just get it over with. Because I know I want one, and I know I'd play it, so, well, at least for a while. So I think that's pretty cool. But I'm really happy with the DS, so I hope people... wanted to hear about the DS is what I really hope, you know. I hope that people learned something, those that did want to, and those that didn't might actually say, you know, well, maybe, you know, I was wrong about it at first, like I was. I was kind of behind it, but I thought, no, Sony's going to blow, you know, Sony's thing sounds amazing. Sony's thing sounds pretty amazing, but the truth is, I haven't seen anything amazing out of it yet. But I have seen amazing stuff out of the DS, you know, so that's just going to have to wait to be seen. As far as time goes, no, we're out of time. So we did the whole show on games this time. We actually had two movies. Well, one, really. iRobot we talked about a long time ago, but I just saw it. And
you just saw iRobot?
Shut the hell up. I know. It was actually a good movie, though. I liked it. But see, because it just came out on DVD is why I saw it, because I don't ever go to the theater. So, and then Collateral.
That movie sucked.
Which, yeah, it's don't even rent this movie. Okay, but maybe we'll give actual reviews. I doubt it next week, but we probably will talk about how bad Collateral is next week. iRobot, I think we covered quite a bit before, so I guess we will see you next week.
All right.
Hey.